So for the evening talk today, I want to share with you a story that is very precious to me, and it's a story of a self-retreat I made a few years ago in India. I was already traveling since a few months in India, and I had plenty of time, enough money for staying. And monsoon were coming slowly, and I had to find out about what to do. I didn't feel at that time to go where everybody could go or something like this. I really felt like I want to see how it is to be really alone. At that time I never had met Sangha, and no teaching, no retreats, nothing. Was just an inner feeling of I want to see how I am when I am alone, and how I can care and manage alone. So this feeling was there and very strong, so I decided. I had come across before in trekking, I had come across a very nice house that was staying in my mind in the Himalayas somewhere, and I had met the owner and already arranged a little bit, was it possible to come or not? He said yes, no problem. 200 rupee a month, which is less than 4 euros a month. So that was also appealing, I have to say. And then so I had also, like, it was very, the idea was very attractive, and also at times I had much fear. Because I knew if I go there, prepare everything, make the whole story to happen, then somehow I cannot prepare everything and then stay 10 days and go. It's something I prepare for some month because of the monsoon, because it's a huge task to bring everything, food and everything there, and to buy for cooking and mattress. There was nothing in the house. So there was a bit of fear sometime coming. But luckily... trust was more strong than fear, so I decided to go. I went there first 2 weeks before my visa ends, just to see the place and to see what I would need to stay before the rain starts. Stayed there for 2 weeks in very difficult conditions, because I came with almost nothing, and then I would need this, that, but there around there's nothing, there's no market. At that time now there is more, but there was no market and no possible to buy any fresh food, because all the villagers, they make their garden, they have their cows, and they just care for themselves. So in the market there's only dry, like dal, rice, and spices and onions. Yeah, sometime one tomato, unlucky. Yeah. So 2 weeks of more survival-like. Then I had a big list of what I need, and I took my way to Nepal through Varanasi again. And there I made a new visa. I bought also some seeds because my plan was to garden. So I had salad, broccoli, and many things I was keen to have that we don't find in India, and that was available in Nepal. And back, and then I arrived in the place, and I had maybe one month before the start of the rain to get ready, gardening and cutting wood, and big story. Many stories about how to get an axe, long ones, but not sure. Yeah. So I bring the things there. The market was maybe half an hour, but steep up, so bringing my tablas and bringing everything up, take me a few journeys, and then finally I had many things. I felt, now I'm secure. The first feeling, as I said, was to see how I am alone. That was what was pushing me to go there. But after that, once decided, I had many other plans that came on. One was to learn Hindi, one was to practice yoga. I had no plan about meditation at that time. Meditation, I think I had an idea about it that makes it impossible for me at this time, just because of this idea. So no, I would say formal time for meditation, but practice of yoga, learning Hindi, playing the tabla, yeah, and the rest of the time. So a kind of schedule came by itself somehow. It was like morning time, getting up, and then cleaning a little bit the house, like every Indians do, yeah? Shaking, I enjoyed every day, same things. Shaking, putting again, yeah. Yeah. It's very simple, it's not like a house here. Huh? Now I have a house here. I don't enjoy so much. And then after that I was practicing some yoga. I had books and everything. And after that, breakfast, so lighting the fire. After some time, the fire for lighting, I just had to put some little wood, wait 10 minutes, blow, because there was always coil, because I was burning fire every day. No need paper, that's little things that brings nice feelings. And then so, breakfast, learning Hindi, and then after that, it was time for bathing, washing clothes, getting water, cutting wood, many, many things. Actually, in such simple life, I found out so many things have to be done and time-taking. And then, so daytime was more caring about things, and when the afternoon was coming, then it was already time to start cooking. I wanted every cooking to be finished and the cleaning pots finished before dark. And then also before dark, I had to make the oil lamp ready, and the bed, and the whole washing pots, everything clean. Yeah. This was very important. Because once it's dark and it's too late, and then many mistakes come. So the evening time I was playing tabla or just watching at the fire, and I had many nice moments, but at the beginning, so many fears. So many fears. Also, villagers I had met told me many stories about aggression and this and that. And so, and everybody was saying, and you close your door at night, huh? But with the fire was smoky, so I couldn't close my door. I tried, huh? Then, no possible. So I was playing tabla. Yeah, the fire was just there and the smoke going towards the door. And but so many fears day after day about someone who could come in. So I noticed I'm not even listening when I'm playing. I'm just in my mind thinking, if someone is coming there, maybe I can roll like this, take the button, and then take the axe or something like many. And then I noticed, I'm supposed to play tabla. You're listening. And I was trapped like this every day by this fear. Huh? If I had to go to pee, I'd take the axe behind, outside. And but what happened after some time is, I got used to always the same thing and never something happening. Just spoiling my time, thinking about many, many bad things that could happen, and the fear was always the same. Stories were always different, many times also the same, but many different. And but always caught in the same thing, and the fear was always the same one. And never something happened. So I got somehow used to it, and slowly it vanished. So that was something I really felt. Something great about this, about how I got used to it, to this fear. It's been, after that, it's been helpful many times. I had one great pleasure. I had many great pleasures. And I discovered what is the feeling of being rich during this time. if I had water, water was very hard to get, a bit far and very steep up. So if my bucket was full of water and cutted wood and smoke on the chimney, was such a great feeling of not lacking anything. And then I realized, I'm sure this is what we all look for. I'm sure if I'm looking for having zero on many zeros on my bank accounts, yeah, is that what this feeling I'm looking for? And it's just a mistake to try that this feeling will come with more and more storing money. Feeling is kind of feeling of lacking nothing, security. I had many times actually this feeling, just I was going for a little walk and coming back, just seeing the smoke coming out of the chimney, and wow, like nothing missing. At other times, I had big nostalgia, and that means everything missing is somehow the opposite, big up and down. And I found it very strange how it comes. I have been able to know where it comes from exactly. I was just like cleaning a pot and suddenly, I want to be elsewhere. Why am I here? Nothing makes sense. And I want to be with my friends. Now it's summer, they're enjoying, and I'm here and I'm alone. And then it all goes like this. And to that also I got used, to nostalgia. I also tried to, I realized that when this comes, then I was trying to give myself many reasons for why I'm here and this and that. And because I had nothing to get away to use to get away from nostalgia. I had no books, I had no music, I had no friends to visit, I had no TV, nothing. So it was there and it was big, big and only that. So the only solution left found by my mind is trying to explain. Oh, nostalgia is because of this, because of that, and try to make a room by explaining it. So also I tried to not play this game and really staying with this feeling. But I never could really watch it in front. When I really, really was ready to look, it was gone. One other thing that was really great is the relation with fire. Actually, I think about self-retreat, I wouldn't do so much alone without a fire. It's really amazing. Like, it's almost like there are many, many different points with the fire that are really nice in retreat. One I found out is it's mesmerizing. So I don't know how many hours I've spent just looking at the fire. I don't know, because I didn't feel like playing tabla. There was nothing to do, just watching the fire, moving a little bit this wood. Then sometime, why is it smoky? Maybe a little bit more air, trying to improve. Sometime big hate, because smoke and smoke and smoke and not burning, and I want to play tabla. And what you want? Okay. This, okay. And I have dry wood and all conditions are there, and I try again, seems to go well, 2 minutes, and then I do like this, little bit nervous, and then my hands are black. Then I have to go out with a pot, and I take the pot, go in, then wash one hand. I cannot put the pot on the floor because it has to go back in the clean water after. Then so everything becomes Compliqué. I found out also that fire was fulfilling a need to care. It always somehow needed me, if not dead. Yeah, so always I had to think about the fire, feed the fire, see what's going wrong, okay, this and that. And this was a nice feeling, and I relate this to the feeling of the need to care, the need that it was like a kind of relation somehow, very basic for sure, but a kind of relation. I had three days, yeah, 3 days, two nights of full rain, only rain, only rain. That's been really, really big challenge, because I was trapped inside, and because of the wind, then the smoke was coming in very strongly. And I had to keep all the, I don't know how you call, outside windows in wood,
shutters,
closed, because the wind was blowing water, rain inside. So out, so in the dark, day and night, with this closed, smoke coming in, whew, challenge. Sometimes, what was the best is sometimes one bird was also upset. And start to sing, like if the sun was, but there was no sun, but like if the sun was back. Big singing and this feeling, wow. There was a man that I met after some time, his name is Ramesh, and he's born in a South Africa, he's Indian, born in South Africa, and he came back to India when he was 19 or 20, something like this. And he was living there, maybe almost 1 hour from my house, as a hermit. Yeah, hermit?
Yeah.
Yeah. And nice man. Once a week, when I was going up to cut wood, I was meeting him. And we would speak about things. He was in love with Krishnamurti. So I didn't know anything about Krishnamurti, and neither much about books or teachings at that time. So that was very, very interesting what he was saying to me, and we would take a meal together or something like this, and then I would come down with a big pile of wood on my head, because on the top was oak, and this is the best wood, because it last long with very little wood, and pine is always had to put on, never a steady fire. So I was going up to this oak wood. And so, yeah, that was nice. This every week, for some time, I had this relation with Ramesh. But I noticed he was dense also, and I understand more now, because I read much about Krishnamurti, and I like his teaching, but he's very dry. And Ramesh was really, really following me. That's my feeling, at least, I'm sorry. And so, one night, maybe after 1 month and a half, but really at night, someone knocked on my door, and that's not a nice way to wake up. But my door was very secure with big wood. And that was Ramesh, and he had a heart attack, and he was really, really in a bad condition. He had came down this 1 hour walk, he said he left hours and hours before, and my house was the first house on the way towards the road, maybe 20 minutes, half an hour further. So he stopped there, so, and I took him inside, and he was really like this, very bad breath, and saying, I feel I'm dying, I'm gonna die. I was so scared. I didn't know what to do. I tried to find position for him, and no position was working. After 5-10 minutes, I said, come on, we have to go, Ramesh. We go down, we try to find a jeep or something, and we go. That's what we did. So I took my torchlight, some money, passport, and the whole story back downhill to the marketplace. And there he had some friends. We went there, they had a jeep, and I went with him to the main city, which is 2-3 hours from there, driving jeep. And there he had an injection and everything. And before going to Delhi, he needed serious care, so he needed to go to Delhi hospital. And before going to Delhi, he gave me his key, and he said he had no faith, and I understand, in this area, is a very strange area in India. He didn't believe anybody there, and he said, when they will know I'm away, someone will break my door and take my things. So you take my key, and everything that has some value, you take in your room. So I went back, and that's what I did. And all this amounts to say that I had 10 books of Krishnamurti. So I read every morning. I read these books, and that was, well, I guess, that. On the silence and the length, maybe 1 month and a half, 2 months were passed, that had really strong effect. So I before that, I was really, my schedule was very solid, and I was so much enjoying the schedule. But I start to question so many things, and even the schedule, and why I want to do this, and I, by questioning, I could see that there was much ego trip in wanting to success in some things in yoga, and to be able to speak a good Hindi. I could see more and more, I was looking, I could see very clearly comparison and proud and many things like this, and that my motivation was also from a ego center, I could say, something like to feel strong and good and higher than others. I could see this so strongly, then I dropped. I don't say that, now I understand it's not according to me, the right answer to drop, yeah, because it was not the only motivation, there was something else for sure. But at that time I dropped, and also I think because of this reading, because of the length, alone and alone and alone, I needed more physical exercise, not like yoga, but like walking. So I started to walk, and every day walk, under the rain, no rain, I didn't care. I just needed to walk every day. So schedule finish, just wake up, little breakfast, maybe before a little bit of yoga, but not long. So that vanished. Hindi finish totally, and just walking. And the walking was really, really, That have lasted maybe between 2 and 3 months more, only doing this walking. And during the walking, I was thinking a lot, but in a very conscious way. Like, for instance, one thing I tried to do is to see what I know and what I believe. And it's a huge task. Yeah, and I found many belief. I found many belief, and I wanted just I did agree to have some belief, but I wanted to know that this is a belief. This is not something I know by myself. Then I cannot use to explain life or to explain that this happened or that happened. It's just something that I believe I've heard, and it sounds nice. It sounds appealing to me, and I believe in it. But before it becomes a knowing, then I have to check this belief to improve, to see if it's real. And many things I took for granted, and it was all mixed. So this kind of process was happening. I was thinking, trying to divide what I know, what I believe. I was thinking about topics, sometimes that I was reading, sometimes that were coming by themselves, and but it was a conscious thinking, and also I was always tuning inside and looking what, how, like, if the topic was comparison, then I tried to see in my thoughts where comparison appears. And I discovered that was amazing. Slowly, slowly, I got to see, like, the content of my thoughts more and more deeply. And not so nice, not so enjoyful, many things, many things. Sometimes a little bit hard to see, but every time I was very happy, because I was there for that, to see a little bit the things as they are. I was also sometimes consciously stopping thinking and just mainly watching and listening sounds in the mountains and beautiful sceneries. Maybe 1-2 minutes, just really, really watching and then going on. Days after days, month after month, it became very sharp, and like this tool became very, I could use it very, very well. And what happened then is sometimes it happened that starting from one point, I could follow like a thread, and my thoughts were going higher and higher, and I would reach one place where it become, by thinking, it became so clear that thought cannot go and cross this line. It's the top. I can't go higher in truth with thinking. And then when this was so clear, poof, drop. Because for some time it was so clear, there's no need to think. And in these moments, I had really, really, I saw beautiful things just around me. I remember one tree. If I had had a camera, maybe I make the whole roll. 36 pictures. Because this tree was, wow, so beautiful. I still had ups and downs, but something inside was very steady. I never had, at some place, it was always clear that I was happy, happy to be there. And sometimes big nostalgia was coming, sometimes just, that was just happiness. One day, like another day, I started the work. I was writing to my sister at that time. I noticed when I write to someone, many times in writing what I do is I start a letter for someone, write a little bit, then leave it open. Maybe after a few days I come, write again, leave it open, and it can last 1 week, 2 weeks, whatever, until the moment I finish and pack. And for the period it's open, the letter is open, I think and speak with that person somehow. Yeah, so at that time I was writing with my sister, so the conversation was going with my sister in my head. Yeah, it was like I needed someone to speak with, still in inquiring. So at that time, what was in my thoughts was, so I was having a discussion, inner discussion with my sister about how I was trying to find out how much I can compare and be in a challenge with others. Competition, that's the word I'm looking for. And I used to be very, very competitive. And yeah. So in this speaking with my sister, I something was said in my mind. I said, yeah, you know, I can be very, very competitive. And I was remembering and saying situation when I could see myself in competition. And then in this, still, it's a bit weird, no? Still in this speaking, yeah, I said to my sister, but you don't know, I have never been really in competition with you. And then very, very deep, I hear something like, you sure? And like, this, like, thoughts have many layers and some are very, very difficult to catch. And that one, I made a few steps before I realized that something happened, and then I stopped and I say, what? I really, really, I stopped and I sat and I say, what, which kind of competition with my sister? What is the story? And then actually I could see that still, since my childhood, I had been in competition with my sister for kind of love and reward from my mother. And this was just too much. I guess because of that was more than 4 months alone, I was very, very sensitive. This is also why I could get that thought that deep. But there I felt like overwhelmed, then, because this isn't, I start crying, and I was like repeating, but this is not what I want. This is not, I don't want this in me. I don't want competition and harm in love. I just want to have love for my sister. And what is this thing that I could see many behaving and manipulation because of this being somewhere in my mind. And I kept on crying and saying, I don't want this in me anymore. I don't want this in me anymore. And what was awful in this situation is I knew, even I have seen, it's still there. And it's not because I have seen one like this that the whole process is finished forever. And it was already hard to see with friends and relationship, but there in relation with my sister and something so close, I had no idea this was there. Then that was a hard one, really a hard one. There I felt this is something different. I was really, really deeply touched. I went back to my house trying to avoid any village, any big path, because I didn't feel like meeting anybody and I was crying a lot. I could see at the same time my wanting this to be finished, and also at the same time already my mind making a story out of it to make me nice that this happened to me, that I have seen this. It was almost sunset when I arrived to my house and I was wiped out. I could feel my heart like broken. I had the physical sensation like I maybe never had before. So I didn't felt like cooking or something like this. I felt for nothing. I was in a very, very strange state. Still very deep. I remember very clearly, still very deep. And even not so deep, there was also happiness. I was happy that happened, because this is what I wanted. It was so deep, so true, but so painful. I was happy to be there and that this happened, but I could not cope with that anymore. Then I decide, like, every evening, maybe I can try the tabla. I don't know if it will work. Sometime
they want to sing, sometimes they don't want to sing. And there I felt, okay, I try. So I took the tabla outside. I had one nice spot to see the sunset. I had kind of little terrace. So in this very strange feeling, very strange atmosphere, I put the tabla in front of me, and everybody knows what is tabla. Tabla are two drums from India, high like this with little cushions, very nice cushions on it. And then, so I place them and I take out the cushions, and the tabla, the main one, was broken in two, the skin. Could not believe. I have never tried to understand why these two most difficult things had to happen at the same day, but something was very clear to me, that means it's enough. Now I have to go. I tried to repair the tabla though.
I went again to this city. I couldn't find anybody who can fix it.
I looked the whole day. It took me a little bit time to really understand I have to go. Okay, so I made the packing of my things, and it would need maybe 2-3 days, but as I was in the process of going, then this changed the whole situation. Every place where I was walking was goodbye. Maybe I will never come to this street. Things I got very intimate with. Then leaving was very emotional. And before going back to Varanasi, where I learned actually the tabla, I felt like going for some trekking. Strangely, I had a big asthma crisis that day, the day of leaving, that lasted actually maybe 1 week. One of the biggest I've had since childhood. So I went for a trek, very nice trek, very hard with this, but I wanted to go on and on. I was walking maybe 50 meters at a time, resting, 50 meters resting like this. But it was really needed to have a gap between this retreat and going back to Varanasi. For those who know Varanasi, I'm sure they can understand. When I arrived in Varanasi, I jumped on the first foreigner I saw. First one, brought him. I invited him to eat. I said, I will cook and come. And we'll. I had not had this relation since long time, and I was like, there was a big lack, it seems. So I still see him sometime. He will never forget me, that's sure. First thing is that the salt in Varanasi is not the same as in the Himalaya. So I was used to cook, you know, every day for 4 months and a half. And in Varanasi I put the same amount of salt and it was 10 times too salty. So it was not possible to eat. Yeah, it was very, very, very salty. And the other thing is I was not really able to follow a conversation. Because every time he says something, I would see all the impact. and my answer coming, and why, and so many things, and that there was a long delay before. Since then, it's not long after that actually met the Sangha and some teachers. And I've been doing many, many retreats like this one today. It's so beautiful. I really feel it is. I sometimes still go there, because I feel also it is very complementary. Alone in nature, then the teaching is also there, and it's also very full. It's not like loneliness. Solitude is different, something different. It is very full and very nourishing. And now, I still go to this house. I rent it yearly, actually, now. And I've never spent like 4 or 5 months again, but I go 2 or 3 months every year, I try. And it's now very easy, much more than before. And I think the main reason is because I can maybe watch what's happening in my mind without believing it's me. And that, I think, if I learned one thing, it's that one. That is very, very freeing to me. Can sit a few minutes in silence.